Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we'd like to read three verses, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in the privilege of being here today. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to hear your word and to know, Lord, that we have the Bible, the scriptures in our hands, and that we have the privilege of holding it and reading it and making it dear to our lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you revealed in the Word of God. And today, Lord, we're dealing with an important subject, and I pray that you'd give us understanding as we deal with this today, and I pray that you'd give us practical application as we respond to the message. Thank you so much, Lord, for your people, for everyone who's here, and those who couldn't be here, we ask you'll bless them today and meet their needs. Give enablement to bring the message. Get honor for yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Each year, I like to have a theme for the year. Last year, 2020, our theme was striving to be more like Jesus. And I hope as we came to the end of 2020 that we could look back and say that maybe we're a little more like Jesus than we were before. As I considered a theme for this year, the Lord impressed upon me the need to pursue good works as a Christian. We all know that good works do not save us. In fact, it does not matter how many good works you do or how good that you are, those will not any way help you be saved. It doesn't help save you. Also, we know this, that good works will never in any way help you stay out of hell. And good works will in no way help you get to heaven. But good works are a necessary ingredient for the Christian's life. In fact, the Bible says clearly in the book of James that good works are an indication that you are truly a Christian. And good works are an indication that your faith is genuine. So if you claim to be a Christian and you don't live like it, you have a real problem. First of all, you might not be. And secondly, if you truly are, you're disobeying God, and I would haste to face God with disobedience. And so it's very important that we maintain good works as Christians. So our theme for this year is saved by grace unto good works. And that's the message this morning. That's the title of the message this morning. And I hope it will be appreciative of our salvation saved by grace. And I also hope that we will be aware of our responsibility that it's unto good works. So the message is going to be a two-part message dealing with those two things. Saved by grace, unto good works. Saved by grace, first of all. Grace is unmerited favor. That means we do not deserve salvation. I don't care how good you are, you do not deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to go to heaven, and neither do you. Nobody deserves it. Salvation is by grace. And if you have salvation, if you trusted Jesus, you're saved. It's by grace. You surely did not deserve it. Now, our condition before salvation is mentioned is stated pretty clearly in this passage, chapter 2 of Ephesians. First of all, he says that we were dead. Before you trusted Jesus as your Savior, before he made you alive, you were dead. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That means we're separated from God. If you die physically, your soul and spirit leaves your body. And so there's the body that people always saw, that people shook hands with, that some of you hugged and all of those things. But that's just the body. But when the soul and spirit leaves, they're dead.
Now, the same is true of us, that if we're dead outside of Christ, that means that we're separated from God. We're separated from God. And so there's no communion with God. You're insensitive to God. You don't respond to God. You're dead. You're dead in sins. And now there are differing degrees of decay. Let's say that I was traveling down a country road one day, and 2 weeks before I got there, there was a car that traveled that way, and a raccoon ran out in front of that car, and it killed the raccoon. It wasn't a very well-traveled road, so not too many cars went by, and that raccoon's still laying there in the road. Now, a week ago, another car came by, and another raccoon came out and killed that raccoon, and there it lay in the road. Then 2 days before I got there, another car came by and hit another raccoon. So when I got there, there were three raccoons in the road. And I can say this of all three of them, they're all dead. But I can also say there's difference in decay. There's difference in decay. And you know, that's the way it is with sinners. Some are so-called good sinners, you know, but the Bible says we're all dead. Now, some have been in sin so long that that it's decayed their life. I mean, it's very evident that they're sinful, and it's very evident, but some maybe not so bad. They're respectable people, but God says they're all dead. Difference in decay, but they're all dead. And so outside of Christ, before we came to salvation, we were dead. Another thing, we were deceived. The Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 2. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You were deceived by the world. Now, if you're not saved and you're out there in the world and you're enjoying the world and the world laughs with you and the world thinks you're great and all this and you do everything the world does, well, you are deceived. You think you're all right. You think you're happy. You think you're going to make it, but you're not. You're apart from God. You're separated from God. So we're deceived by the world. We're also deceived by the flesh. Look at verse 3. Among whom also you had our conversation in times and past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So you're deceived by the flesh. Your flesh wants certain things, and you want certain things, and you'll do certain things. You'll sin in certain ways, and you are deceived because your flesh tells you, oh, it's all right. Everybody else is doing it. You're going to get by with it. And no, you're not. You're deceived. But you're not only deceived by the world and the flesh, you're also deceived by the devil. Because verse 2 says, the latter part of the verse, and says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, what many people don't know that are going about their life and they're seemingly having a good time and they're participating in sin, they're deceived by the world, they're deceived by the flesh, and they're also deceived by the devil. And the devil stands in the background and he laughs as you are deceived. The other day, one of the Christmas gifts I received in Florida was from, I think it was Joseph and his wife, they gave me a chess set. The chess set was 2020 election. And President Trump was there, and Vice President, the King, and the Queen, that they were just, they took that place. And then there were others that were on it. And then the chess set for the Democrats, they didn't know when they made this chess set who they were, who the candidates were. And so they're blank, but all the others there, Schumer's there, and a bunch of them are there, you know. And so you use those and you play chess with them. I haven't played chess for probably 20 years or more. And I didn't remember the moves. My granddaughter, she wanted to play chess with me, and I wanted to play chess with her, but I said, Faith, you're going to have to teach me, and you're going to have to remind me which piece goes which way. She was so happy, in 5 minutes she had Papaw checked, but not checkmate. I got out of that, and about 2 hours later, she beat me. But one move she made, she moved her queen right down. She made a move she thought was really good, but she forgot that elephant was a pawn. I guess that's what you call them, isn't it? She forgot that was a pawn. She thought it was something else. And I smiled and I just came diagonal, you know, and took her queen out. And it felt so good doing that. But she beat me in the end anyway. But it reminded me of something. The devil's a deceiver. He'll look like he's something else. He'll make you think he's your friend. He'll make you think if you get what you want, you'll be so happy. And yet in the background, he's laughing because he has you deceived and he's going to pounce at any moment. The devil's a deceiver. So we're dead outside of Christ. We're deceived outside of Christ, deceived by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then also, there's something else. We're disobedient. The Bible says in verse 2, the latter part of the verse, we're children of disobedience. You see, our sin might think, well, I'm in charge and I'm doing what I want to do, and it's okay, everybody else is doing it, and it doesn't seem to be bothering me. But you have to realize something. Sin is disobedience against God. Not just disobedience against somebody that you love, or mom or dad, or whatever it might be, but disobedience against God, and that's a very serious thing. Do you realize how small you are? Traveling the airplane, going to Florida, and then coming back. And you get up there, and if you think about the Lord, you realize how small you are. Because you look down from an airplane, you look at this checker down there, and that checker piece, that checkered ground down there that you see, it just might be several hundred acres. But up there in the sky, it looks so small. And can you imagine how small that looks to the Lord who inhabits eternity? It's very small. And then on that checkered piece, you have this little guy who thinks he's so big and so smart and so powerful. And yet he's nothing compared to those hundreds of acres of land, and he's nothing compared to a holy God. And when you, as that little person, rebel against a holy God, you've been disobedient. So what were we before we were saved? We were dead. We were deceived. We were disobedient. And by the way, if you're not saved, you're all three of those. You're dead, deceived, disobedient, but there's a fourth thing. You're also doomed. You're doomed. The Bible says in verse 3, we're children of wrath. God's already pronounced the sentence. That's why he says in John 3:18, he that believeth on the Son of God is not... is, well, but it just left me. But it... For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not, what? Is condemned already. You don't wait to die to see where you're going to go. The Bible says the sentence is already passed. The Lord says you're doomed. And so when you come to know Christ, before you were saved, you were dead, you were deceived, you were disobedient, and you were doomed. And if you die like that, immediately you go to hell. No court up in heaven to say, oh, was he good enough? No. If you don't trust Jesus, you're doomed. And so that's our condition outside of Christ. So our condition. Now let's notice also our ability. He says we were not able to save ourselves. Look at verse 8 in the text verses we have this morning. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You didn't save yourselves. You can't save yourself. Doesn't matter how good you are or what you do or how many good deeds you do, it will never save you. You cannot save yourself. So your ability for salvation is nil. You don't have any. You are not. You cannot save yourself. And then he says, verse 9, not of works. Oh, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something to please God. God won't be pleased. God says, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. God doesn't want anybody bragging about how they got to heaven, and it'll never happen in heaven. You hear songs sometimes, Christian songs, you know, about I'll sit down and tell you how I got there. Why are you going to do that? The way you got there is no different than the way I got there. You didn't have a thing to do with it except you believe what Jesus did. And the way everybody gets to heaven is through what Jesus did for them on the cross of Calvary. It has nothing to do with what you do. Nothing. And so by grace are you saved through faith. that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Many tried to save themselves by different means, by good deeds. They do enough, they'll make it. Or religious activity. If we're religious enough, we join the right church. If we do these things, we'll make it. Or self-affliction. If we just punish ourselves, we'll make it. And a lot of people do that, you know. They think if they'll punish themselves, if they'll whip themselves, if they'll crawl up these steps until their knees bleed, that that'll help. That won't help. Self-affliction doesn't help. Human sacrifice. You remember in the Old Testament, the children of Israel let their children pass through the fire. What did that mean? They offered them to the god Molech. But that didn't help. In some lands, you remember, they tossed their babies into the river thinking that will help. That won't save you. Not of yourself. Sincerity. Well, if you're just sincere, you heard the guy that led in prayer in the Congress the other day, and he prayed and he said, monotheistic God, named sometimes Brahma or other names by other religions, you know. And then he prayed, "Amen and a woman." My goodness. Talk about, I don't like the word. We told our kids growing up not to use the word, but that's stupid. Sorry, John. Amen has nothing to do with gender. Amen is a word that means so be it, or I agree. That's right. And but that's all messed up. But they're thinking, you know, just sincere. If you're just sincere, it doesn't matter what you believe, just so you're sincere. Sincerity won't get you to heaven. So our ability, we don't have an ability, but we do have a responsibility. And the responsibility is this. It's seen in verse 8 where it says, through faith. You see, that's your responsibility. And salvation is obtained through faith. Not what we do, but what we believe. It's not how much you do or what you do. It's what you believe. Trust what Jesus did for you on the cross, not what you do for Jesus. And I say that many times to people. It has nothing to do with what you do. It has everything to do with what Jesus did. And you must believe that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day. He's the resurrected Lord. He's the Son of God who did that for you. You must believe that and trust what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. Salvation is free. God does the saving, but we must do the believing. That's our responsibility. You must believe. John 3:18 again says, because he did not believe. Why do you go to hell? Because you won't believe. And so that's our responsibility, is to believe. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Now, our rescue. God saves us. God saves us. What's that rescue involve? Well, it involves, first of all, we believe. We believe the gospel. Look at chapter 1 of Ephesians, and the Lord gives the order there, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now it can be translated when, but still, there's progression there. And that is, in whom ye also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed. So, you heard the message, you believed the message, and then you were saved. God saved you when you believed. But that's your responsibility. You must believe. And you're not rescued by the Lord. You're not saved by the Lord until you do that. That's your responsibility. You must believe, and salvation begins with the belief. And then God says He quickens. Look at verse 1. And you hath He quickened. That means He makes us alive. Verse 5 mentions the same thing. He makes us alive. And so we believe. God quickens us, makes us alive. God saves us. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved. Verse 5, it says as well, that by grace you're saved. And so God saves us, And then God creates a new person. Now, it all happens like that. I've heard the word. I believe it. The moment I believe it, God saves me. God makes me alive. And God also gives me a brand new nature, makes me a brand new person. Look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are created in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you got saved, if you're really saved, God made you a new person. Now, if you just made a profession when you were a child, and you know, you were sincere, you thought you knew what you were doing, but you really didn't understand the gospel. You didn't really understand that you had to have faith in what Jesus did for you. You went through the motions because you didn't want to go to hell, you wanted to go to heaven. And you went through the motions, but now several years back, you look at your life and you're really no different than anybody else. You don't think different than the world, you don't desire different from the world. You don't really have a desire down in your heart to live for Jesus and love Him. I mean, there is no change. There is nothing different about you than anybody else. I believe it's a very good evidence that you're not saved. Because the Lord says He makes a new creature. You're created in Christ Jesus. And that creation in Christ Jesus produces works. And so the Lord says, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let me illustrate it like this. When God on creation day made an apple tree, now what could God expect from that apple tree? Of course, that apple tree was a little different because when God created it, it already had apples hanging on it. I mean, it was just immediate. There was a tree and the apples were on it. But as the seasons start and as things change, oh, what would God expect from that apple tree in the future? He expect apples. Why? Because it's an apple tree. Oh, when God saves us, He created us in Christ Jesus, His workmanship unto good works. What does God expect from the Christian? God expects good works. So a true Christian is going to produce good works. You won't get to heaven by good works, but if you're really going to heaven, you're going to have the works. That's proof that God did something. God did something in you. He changed you. And there's evidence of that in your life because there's good works. So for by grace are ye saved. Then he says this, unto good works. Let's concentrate on that for a minute. God designed us for good works. Look at verse 10 again. For we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. So you trusted Jesus as your Savior, and He made you a child of God. He regenerates you. He makes you a new person. And because you're a new person, you have new desires. You have a new Lord for one thing. You have new desires. And so that newness is because He made you. When God does a work, He does a good work. And so when God saves somebody, He creates them in Christ Jesus, they are His workmanship. That means God did this. Now, if you work with your hands and you build things, or you install things, like Tom's here today, he's heating and air. He installs heating and air. Well, anybody that does that, let's say you're a person and you built something out of wood. Back in the nursery sitting right now, it's not where it's going to stay, but there's an altar of incense back there. And Dan built it for the Christmas program. And I just said, you know, we need an altar of incense, and if you can build a frame, maybe we can put a box on it and paint that box. And well, Dan just built the whole thing, and it's great. And it's His workmanship. He made it. Well, when God saves you, you're His workmanship. He made you. Shouldn't you expect to see the quality of the Lord in you when He made you? You are His workmanship. God designed us for a reason. You are His workmanship, and you, as His workmanship, have a purpose, and that is you're to produce good works. And so God designed us for good works. Also, God determined before that we would walk in good works. So God made us, if you consider us like a machine, God made us a good works machine. But then God says, before I ever did that, I had a plan in mind that good works machine is supposed to produce good works. It's going to. I designed it that way. It's going to set in motion. It's going to start doing that because I predetermined that would happen. Now that makes it serious, because if you're a person who claims to be a Christian and you don't in any way look like one, you don't in any way think like one, you just know that you did something one time, but it hasn't changed your life. And God says, you better question that, because it might be that you're not His workmanship. It might be that you never truly trusted Jesus as your Savior. It might be that you're not genuine. You're faking it. And you might deceive a lot of people, but you won't deceive God. And He says, I determined beforehand that you were to produce good works. God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're designed for good works. We're determined beforehand that we would walk in those good works. And God defined the pattern for our good works. Now, how do we see the pattern for our good works? The Lord says they would walk in them. You see, that's different than occasional. They would walk in them. Walking is daily, habitual, continual pattern. We walk. We walk in them. Every day of our life, we're walking in good works. It's not occasional. It's not sporadic. It's not some grand performance. Oh, I did something great. But then for 5 months, I don't do anything else great. No, the Lord says His design for us is defined this way. We have a pattern. We're to walk in good works. Our new life in Christ is produced by the Holy Spirit who lives and abides in us. And if the Holy Spirit living and abiding in us controls us, they're going to be the good works. There's going to be the evidence that God has changed us. It flows in and through us. The life He gave us in Christ Jesus, created in Christ Jesus, flows inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is there. And we must yield to the Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we won't yield to the Spirit. Then we clog things up, you might say. But God says, I want to for you to constantly walking daily, producing good works all the time. That's a manner of your life, is you produce good works. I remember as a kid walking out, maybe it was out in the woods while I was hunting squirrels or something. And I come up with a little stream, not a big stream, just a little stream, you know. And it rained and there was water in that stream. But at a certain place in that little stream, sticks had collected. And then leaves had collected. And then rocks had collected. And it made a dam, a little dam. And the water was restricted flowing because of that little dam. And I can remember as a kid taking a stick, reaching down there and just knocking away those leaves and sticks. And guess what happened? The water flowed. The water flowed. You know, we're like that sometimes as Christians. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. But we restrict Him. We grieve Him. And sin piles up in our life. And we restrict the flow of the Holy Spirit through all of our life, controlling us. And what we need to do is get rid of those obstructions and confess our sins to the Lord and let the Lord begin to use us for His glory. And the Lord wants to do that in our life. So in 2021, let's be thankful we are saved by grace and allow God to perform good works through us for His glory and others' good. God often mentions good works in the Scriptures. As I was preparing this message, I looked up all the times in the Scripture where God mentioned good works, and also the do good. I looked up all those, and I came up with several Scriptures. Do you know that the Bible says of Jesus in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that He went about doing good? We're supposed to be like Jesus, right? Remember last year's theme, striving to be like Jesus. Striving to be more like Him. We're supposed to be like Him. And the Bible says, while He walked on this earth, He went about doing good. Also, the Bible says, mentions good works many times. It says in Psalm 34, verse 14, depart from evil and do good. It's not enough for a Christian to just say, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't go there, I don't do this. You know, and all the negatives. God says, all right, that's good. You're not supposed to do those things, but what are you doing? What are your good works? What are you doing? So the Lord says, depart from evil and do good. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do they see our good works? Matthew 5, verse 44 says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. We need this today, don't we? There are some people that don't like our ways. There are some people that don't like it when I stand and say, call sin, sin. They don't like that. And there are some people in authority who would like to squash that so that we can't say that. Well, we'll still say it anyway, but they'd like to do that. But the Bible says, wait a minute, those might be your enemies, but what are you supposed to do to those enemies? Love them. That's hard sometimes, you know. That's hard. But God still says to do it. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate you. It's easy to do good to those people who do good to us. But do good to those that hate you. That's a little hard. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 says, Dorcas. Remember Dorcas? She was a lady that died, and Peter ended up raising her from the dead. But it says of Dorcas, this woman was full of good works. Good works. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. Let's do good to all people, but especially to Christians. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, especially to them. But to everybody, do good works, but especially to your Christian friends. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10 says, women should adorn themselves. And how does he say to adorn themselves? Well, he says in modest apparel, but then he adds this, also with good works. You know, you might dress nice, might dress decent, but are you doing anything for Jesus? Good works. 1 Timothy chapter 5 talks about widows indeed. In the early church, there were widows indeed. Widows could be a part of this group if they met certain qualifications. Now, I don't understand it all, but one of the qualifications is they could only be married to one man if they were a widow indeed. And also, they had to be 60 years old. They had to be at least 60 years old, and there were some other stipulations. But of those widows, indeed, one of the things, the qualifications they needed to be on that roll where the church would take care of them as a widow indeed, it says they were well reported of for good works, and they diligently followed every good work. So if you were in the early church and you were widows having some trouble and you were 60 years old and you were hoping you could get in on the, and the church taking care of you, all of a sudden your past would come up. They would say, is there evidence that she has been performing good works for a long time in her life? If not, sorry, we can't help you. That's what the Scripture said. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, the Scripture is given by inspiration that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, what? Unto all good works. We are to perform good works. Titus says a lot about good works. If you want to turn there with me, I haven't asked you to turn, but Titus has several, so we're going to mention those. Chapter 2, verse 7 says this, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. But we are a pattern of good works. Chapter 3, verse 1, he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. And then chapter 14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works. What I'm saying is the Scripture is full of references that we are to be people of good works. Hebrews chapter 10, remember that? Verse 24 comes right before verse 25. Verse 25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So we should go to church because God tells us to. But then verse 24 right before that says this, consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So we should be people who encourage each other to do good works. By our example and by our admonition, we should encourage each other to do good works. Hebrews 13, verse 16 says, but to do good and communicate, forget not. And if you've got nothing else out of the past, out of the message, listen to this. He says, do good, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You want to please God? Do good works. As a Christian, be a good Christian. Be a caring Christian, being a loving Christian. So how do we put this to practice in our lives? How do we put this to practice in our church? Well, let's give some categories. Some good works we can do. First of all, at home, show appreciation to your spouse. How long has it been, men, since you've thanked your wife for preparing the meal that she prepared? How long has it been since you thanked your wife for doing the work that she does at home? Show appreciation. That's a good work. Works are not just things that you do with your hands. Works are sometimes things that you say and encouragement. Help your spouse. I remember a lady in our church in West Virginia. I've told you about her before, I believe. But she had this son who wasn't the best of guys. I mean, a really nice fellow. One of the biggest funerals I ever had was his funeral. But he had a problem. He had a drinking problem. And I liked this guy. But his mom told me one time, and he's up probably in his 50s at that time, still home. And his mom told me, said, he doesn't even know how to run the sweeper. And I thought, he's got the wool pulled over your eyes. What do you have to know to run the sweeper? It's not hard to run a sweeper. But you know, some men never help their wives out with anything at the house. Well, change that. Help her out some. Spend time with your children if you have children at home. That's a good work. Children, be good, obedient to your parents. Appreciate your parents. Tell them you love them. Tell them you appreciate what they have, what they give you. I mean, you get three meals a day. Where does it come from? From your mom and dad. If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't get it. How long has it been since you've been thankful? You can have good works at home. What about work? Well, be a hardworking employee. That's one of the best things that can be said of a Christian. They're a good employee. They're a good employee. I was listening to my son. We were talking on a fishing trip, and he told about Jason when he first got his job on that led to his career that he's in now. And this guy's name was Troy, I think. He told him, he said he needed to hire somebody that he could depend on. He said, why don't you hire my brother? He just got out of the service, and I guarantee he'd be a good worker. He said, I don't know. I've had bad experience. And he said, would you just try him? I'm sure it'll work. So Jason went to work for this guy, and he came to Joseph later, and he said, thank you. He said, he's the best employee I've ever had. Well, that's, that made me proud. But don't you think the Lord likes it when an employer has hired one of his people, and that employer says, he's the best employee I've ever had? That brings honor and glory to God. So that's a good work we can do at work. We can express our thanks for our job. You know, some people have good jobs and all they ever do is complain about it. Be appreciative that you have a job and express that so people hear it and so people understand that. Be respectful of authority, those that are over you. Give a listening ear to your coworker who works with you. Sometimes people, you know, they just live for themselves and they're not interested in anybody else's problems. They're not interested in hearing about anything that people are going through. Christians shouldn't be that way. We should be sympathetic. We should have a listening ear and be able to help people and try to encourage people. We can pray for others that we work for when they're going through it, through problems, and we let them know about it. Tell them you're praying for them. Be unashamed to pray before you eat. Such a little thing. But you walk in the break room or something and you sit down to eat and you spread your lunchbox out if you still carry one. But anyway, you eat. But before you eat, you just bow your head. You don't have to say anything loud. You don't have to even move your lips. But people know what you're doing. And they notice that. That is a good work because it glorifies God. It helps people to realize that you realize this food came from God and you're giving Him the credit. So you do simple things like that. Be unashamed when you do it. Share the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. And then another thing at work you can do that's a good work is just be happy in the Lord. Be happy in the Lord. And it's hard for us to do that sometimes. I've told you about the time I was at the Christian bookstore. And a lady came up to me I'd never seen before. And she said, "Are you happy in the Lord?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Why don't you tell your face about it?" I thought, boy, that was a put down. I never saw her again. Never had another conversation with her. But I remember what she said. Are you happy in the Lord? Well, be happy in the Lord at work. That's a good work. That shows people that Jesus is worth living for. And then on the road. On the road. That can be challenging, can it? I was driving to Tampa the other day, I think it was. And there was probably, I'd say, 6 to 8 car lengths between me and the person in front of me. And this guy came from the right, and he almost hit the front of my car as he cut in. Why do you have to do that? And Jason said, "Dad, it's every day. They cut you off like that." Well, what if I'd sped up and did not know he was coming? I would have hit him. He had plenty of room to get in. And you know, it's tempting to get angry with, you can probably sense I am. It's tempting to get angry. But the Lord says, you know, have good works. Be patient. Maybe he's going through a rough time. Maybe that's, I don't know. Just don't dwell on it. Just go like I just did. But be courteous on the road. And if that guy was a Christian, he wasn't courteous. We should be courteous on the road. You know, sometimes we make moves as we're driving because we want to get somewhere or something, and we'll make a move we shouldn't make, and then we go 50 feet down the road, and the traffic gets stopped, and we didn't get anywhere. The Lord says, be patient, be courteous on the road. That's good works. What about the store? Well, be kind to people at the store. You know, the people that check you out at the store, they didn't set the prices. And the people that check you out at the store, they did not mess up the thing that you bought that didn't work. It wasn't their fault. In fact, they're there to help you because you couldn't buy that legally unless they were there to check you out. We just need to remember to be kind at the store. Be thankful when you are helped. Somebody helps you at the store find something. Be thankful for that. You say, well, they're getting paid for that. That doesn't have anything to do with it. You're a Christian. You get paid for that too, pretty handsomely. You know, we have a home in heaven waiting for us. I mean, God pays us all the time. So be ready to be thankful. Be ready to share Christ with someone else at the store. Not every time. It's not always the right time. But sometimes it's the right time and you know it and God prompts you that you just reach in your pocket and hand them that tract. And so when you get a chance, I'd like you to read this. And if I can help you any, I sure would be glad to. Or if it's an opportunity to say more, you can say more about the Lord Jesus. Be honest. If somebody owes you $10.20 change and they gave you $10.50 change, what should you do? We said, well, nobody knows. Oh, yes, they do. God knows. And God says, good works. Be careful to maintain good works. So what do you do? Ma'am, I'm sorry. You gave me 30 cents too much and you hand it back. And that leaves an impression upon that lady. And if you're back there, and if you're there a few times, she finds out some things about you and might find out later that you're a preacher and you'll be so glad that you gave that back. But the main thing, you'll be glad because you honored Jesus. And he wants you to be honest, helpful. Somebody's ahead of you, they drop something. As a Christian, offer to pick it up for them. Offer to help them. Be helpful. Witness for the Lord any chance that you get. Well, with your neighbors, be friendly. Offer to help them when they need help. Maintain a good testimony. If you back out of your driveway and you live close to somebody and you came at the wrong angle and you hit a mailbox was there, you don't just drive off and say they don't know who it was. You stop and tell them, it was me, I'll make it right. Because you're to maintain good works. But what about at church? We've covered all these other areas, but what about at church? Encourage one another. It's our job to encourage one another. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. It didn't say, go to church so you can hear the preacher preach. I wish it said that, but it doesn't. It says, but exhorting one another. Go to church so you can encourage each other. We all need it. And you need to encourage one another. Be friendly. Just don't go in and sit down and say, bless me if you can. You come in and you realize you need to be friendly. If you want friends, you must show yourself friendly. If a visitor comes, you should be friendly. It's not up to the deacons just to visit that, to make that person welcome. Oh, why don't you go and say, we're so glad that you're here today. It would mean a whole lot to them. And it's a good work. Be faithful in attendance. Be faithful in your giving. All those are good works. Welcome those who might feel unwelcome. Those who might come in dressed in a way that you think, well, it's going to draw attention to them. Go to them and let them know that you're so glad they're here. Don't say, oh my. No, just let them know you're glad they're here and welcome them. Pray for others and let them know you're praying for them. We give prayer requests and you've heard the prayer request. Like we gave a prayer request for Diana. It'd be good after, you'll probably be flooded Diana, but be good after church to say, Diana, I'm praying with you about that. Let them know. That's a good work. Take a treat to somebody who needs it. Maybe they're shut in. You might take them a meal. You might take them some cookies or a cake or pie or something like that. If I get sick next week, I didn't know about it. I'm well right now. Visit somebody in the hospital. I know we can't do that now. I can't even go to the hospital. But you know, I've met many people who said, I never go to the hospital. I don't like hospitals. I don't bother with hospitals. Hey, visiting somebody at a hospital is not about you. It's about them. Forget about you. You might feel uncomfortable and you might not like it, but you're going to see them and encourage them. And so good works. Help a widow with work that needs done around her house. Offer to help some parents who might need a break from maybe their little one, and they just need a night out, and it wouldn't be bad to offer to help them. Words of wisdom to a teenager. You know, a lot of teenagers get words of wisdom from their parents, and that's good. Teenagers, you should listen. But sometimes teenagers might respond a little better from words of wisdom from somebody else. Not judging harsh, but words of wisdom, and how needed that is. Help with work around the church. Things need to be done. Say, I can do that, or I want to do that, or what can I do? Call those who have been shut in because of COVID. Some because they're sick, some because they're afraid. And I don't make light of those that are afraid. But if they're afraid to get out, let them know that you miss them. Call or send a card to somebody who maybe is not in church, hasn't been here for a while, and you miss them. Let them know about it. There are so many good works that we can do. Remember, God saved us by His grace, and He equipped us to serve Him. And may 2021 be a year when we concentrate on good works. I'm going to emphasize it through the year. I have a suggestion today I'll tell you about after the invitation. But let's concentrate on good works. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to share your word. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us to take this message to heart and that we might all consider what we can do and what good works we can do so that we might properly represent a very good Savior, a loving Savior, a kind Savior, a forgiving Savior, a long-suffering Savior. Help us to represent you, Lord, as we should, and use us for your glory. And if there's somebody here who is not saved, Lord, I pray that today they would be brought to conviction and come to the place where they would be willing to even come forward and say, I want to be saved today. I want to trust the Lord. I pray that they'll do that. We ask in Jesus' name.